The story of the prodigal son. You may be here this morning. You may need to start making your way back home. Amen. Maybe you're here, but you're not here. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Maybe you're here bodily, physically, but you're not here in your heart. You're not where you need to be with the Lord. So let's look at this story and try to get some glean some truth from it. Luke chapter number 15, starting in verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons, and the young of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. That's just the way the devil works. Right when you spend everything you got, it's when the devil will hit you. Amen? There arose a mighty famine. And he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Now here's what I'm preaching out of this morning. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they begin to be merry. I want to preach on this morning out of that one verse there. I believe it was verse number 20, where his father saw him a great way off. I want to preach on this, what the father saw. What the father saw, he saw something when he saw that young man returning back home. Amen? And, you know, this story has so much in it. You could preach on it every night and preach a week's revival. Amen? If you'll notice back there, the younger son said to him there in verse number 12, he demanded his inheritance. He said, Daddy, I want what's coming to me. Amen? Bro, that's the heart of rebellion. When a young man or a young woman starts wanting something before the time. Amen. You say, Preacher, I've never demanded my daddy give me my inheritance. No, you may not have if you want to live like a married person when you ain't married. Amen. It's the same thing, brother. Listen, if you want to enjoy the elements of marriage, you can't do it when you're single. You ain't supposed to. It's a sin. It's wicked. It's wrong. And God frowns on it. He wanted something before the time was due. That's just like somebody getting a job. And the first day on the job, they want a company truck and they want a title. Or they want an office with their name on the door. It just don't work that way, brother. Amen. He wanted something before it was time to get it. Somebody said, What's your thoughts? They become words. What's your words? They become actions. What's your actions? They become habits. What's your habits? They become character. What's your character? It becomes your destiny. That is the absolute truth. Bible said, He said, I want what's coming to me. I have my right. Hey, man, you can't do this to me. I want my money. I want my inheritance. And so the first thing we see is that he demanded his inheritance. And the next thing we see is the Bible said he gathered all this stuff together and not many days hit and took off. He left immediately. He couldn't wait to get busy spending that money. He couldn't wait to start having fun. He wanted to buy him a new car. And he wanted to party. I mean, he wanted to smoke big cigars, expensive cigars. And he wanted to go to the casinos. And he wanted to get him some pretty women. And he did all that stuff. And he did it. And he had fun. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. But the Bible said he left immediately. That tells us he'd been planning this for a long time. Good way to get busy. Not all that, we see the Bible said he went into a far country. He don't only want to leave home, he wanted to get as far away from mom and daddy as he could get. He wanted to get divorced from family, work, responsibility, structure, boundaries, rules. He wanted to get as far away. Hey, can I tell you something this morning? Everybody here, young people and old people, you can't run away from that stuff. No matter where you end up, you're going to have it unless you live under a bridge. And even then, somebody's going to come along and ask you what you're doing there. You're going to be accountable to somebody somewhere at every point of your life. So you might as well get used to it and submit to your mom and your daddy and submit to your preacher. And then you submit to your spouse. And you submit to your employer, and you submit to your landlord, and just get used to that stuff. You can't run away and be a free bird. There ain't no such thing. And then we see that he wasted it all on nothing. Righteous living means he was having a big ride. He's having a big party. I mean, brother, he'd been watching MTV too much. He'd been watching too many sitcoms. He'd been watching too many beer commercials and all that stuff. And he thought, that's what I want. That's the way I want to live. Everything shiny and pretty and new. I want one of them floozy girls. But when he ran out of money, them floozy girls left him. He'd be better off marrying an ugly snaggletooth girl that can make cornbread. Then you get one of them pretty girls, that's a high-maintenance girl that you can't keep at home, can't keep up with, and you don't know where she's at. I'll tell you some things he didn't know. I ain't got to my message yet. I'll tell you some things he didn't realize. This young man didn't realize that his daddy was the best friend he ever had. His daddy's the best friend he ever had, which we'll see at the end of the story. He didn't realize his daddy with all them rules and regulations and making him build fence and making him slop the hogs and feed the chickens and work on the barn and go bale hay and making him do all that work. That's all we ever done is work. Bro, that builds character. You need to learn that. The sooner you learn that, the better off you're going to be and the happier you're going to be. Amen. I can prove to you that kids, that your friends ain't what you think they are. Oh, my mom and dad don't choose my friends. I'm going to do what I want to my friends. This and my friends that. One of you girls get pregnant and see if your friends will raise it for you. You know who end up raising it? That mom and daddy you're rebelling against. They're the ones that will raise it. They're the ones that will take you to the doctor and pay the doctor bill. It ain't paid for all. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about when you get locked up in jail, your friends won't come there and pay your mom. Your daddy will. He realized his father was the best friend he had. He realized a little bit later on, there's no place like home and nobody like family. He realized he didn't know that he would get all the inheritance and much more if he had just waited. He didn't know that when he left, it would never be the same again. He didn't realize he was burning some bridges that he never could build back. Listen, you ever heard that old saying, you can never go back? That's kind of the truth, really. I mean, if you leave home in a rebellious frame of mind and take everything you got and go out and blow it, you can come back, but it's different, ain't it? It is. It's different. Hey, listen, you might leave your wife for about 6 months, and she might let you come back, but you'll never make me believe it'll be the same. It'll never be the same again. Amen, brother. You said, preach your awful up. I'm just trying to help you, trying to keep you from going down that road of sin that this young man went down. I want to tell you what this father saw. I want to say, number one, he saw ruin. He saw ruin. My mama used to call it ruination. She'd say, that's the ruination of this country, blah, blah, blah. But listen, that's what he saw. When he saw that young man coming back, he saw the effects of the world. He saw that he was dirty. Here's a young man spent some time in the hog pen. If you'll notice down there, we've reading verse number 15 and 16, the Bible said he went out to feed swine. That was the dirtiest job there was. And the Bible said he went to fill his belly with the husk the hogs did eat. And the Bible didn't say, that he couldn't, that he didn't get it. The Bible said no man would give to him. The Bible said he was so far gone, they wouldn't even let him eat the slop that the pigs were eating. I remember what it was like when I was in sin before I got saved. It would remind you of being down hog pen. Anybody ever been around hogs, hog pen, raised hogs? You ever been around them slop buckets? You take them, they'd take a 5 gallon bucket and set it in the kitchen and dump all the leftovers in and pour sour milk in it and green bacon grease, all that junk, and leave it in the kitchen, not out behind the barn. And then sometime during the day, it's, hey, boy, take that out your slop them hogs. You go out there and you get out there and throw it in them hogs, eat it up, man. I mean, and then you go kill a hog and eat it. I ain't knocking until I like it. I like bacon, brother. I like the bacon on anything. I like bacon on ice cream. Hey, brother. Hey, I'm glad I ain't under the Old Testament rule. I'm glad we ain't forbidden to eat swine, because I love it. I love sausage and bacon and ham, all the fat back and all that good stuff. But I'm saying that's the nastiest place. He's so ruined. He was a farmer, I believe this man was. I'm just saying, out of my sanctified mind, he must have been a farmer, a vitamin, and he could tell where that boy had been. And when he got closer, he could smell where he'd been. He was dirty. He was empty. He didn't have any friends, didn't have any money. He didn't even have any clothes. He was barely clothed. He barely held a pair of breeches. He might not even have a shirt on. He didn't have no shoes. He didn't bring him some shoes, put a robe on his back. I can picture in my mind that boy probably at a crap shoot or at a gambling place somewhere, a chicken fight back behind the barn somewhere, and he got down to even where he was. Listen, no, I've seen people do that. I've seen people on drugs take their shirt off and give it to a crack dealer just to get one more thing. I've seen that junk, brother. I've seen what it does. And you can take a fine, upstanding young man, a teenage boy or girl, out of a nice family like these right here, and give just 2 or 3 months in that lifestyle, and they'll be ruined, and you won't even recognize them. I had a woman one time, she came to the pawn shop where I used to work years ago, and she said, you know, and she was crying. She said, I couldn't figure out where my son's stuff was going. And I thought y'all had it all. But she said, that ain't where it was going. She said, I followed him. She said, I followed him the other night. And I mean, she is a well-to-do woman. She had enough jewelry to pay your house off. And I mean, she said, you know what? She said, I followed him over yonder to the hill. That's what they call it. You know what they meant when they said he's over on the hill? That's a bad part of town. And they went, she said, I followed him, and his car pulled over. And she said, this guy come up to the car, and she said, he pulled off his cowboy boots that we bought him for Christmas, spent about $300 for, and headed them out the window of that boy. And that boy had hit a little tiny thing about the size of a baby aspirin, and that car drove off. She said, I could not believe my eyes. If you'd have come and told me that, I'd have called you a liar. But she said, I saw it. And he'd go home and change clothes and put on those designer clothes, get back in the car, drive straight back there. And she'd finally pull off one of those expensive shirts, one of Tommy Hilfiger or whatever, and had to pull his breeches off, sat in that expensive car, handed everything he could just to get one more fix. You know what that is? That's ruin, brother. Sin will ruin you. Kids, listen, I'm not kidding with you this morning. Sin is fun. You'll have a blast. You'll have a ball. You'll have a time of your life. You can leave it up, but you'll never leave it down. There's a price tag on it, buddy. Oh, you can catch a buzz. There's a price for it, son. He saw the ruin. He saw that his son was aged. He probably looked older. He said, I know that's my boy, but he looks older. He's been gone but a couple of years, but my God, he's aged 20 years. That's what sin will do to you. He said he's broken. He's falling apart. He saw that he went from riches to rags. He left nice dress with a pocket full of money and came back with nothing. Brother, I'm going to tell you that's exactly what sin will do to your life. It will absolutely ruin you. Nothing will ruin you like sin. And we see it every single day. He saw rule number two. He saw remembering. He look at verse 17. That boy, the Bible says, when that boy came to himself, he started thinking. He started thinking about, here I am contemplating eating with the hogs. He said, my daddy's got a nice place. Maybe it's a plantation type place. I don't know. He's got a nice place, and he's got a lot of hired servants. And I know I've sinned. I've messed up. I've thrown my whole life down the toilet. I've ruined everything. But at least I know my daddy's a good man. I know he's a good daddy. And I know if I go back and if I say I'm sorry, at least he'll let me sleep in the bunkhouse. He'll give me a job. If I'm going to slop hogs, I might as well slop hogs at his place. At least I'll be home. And I can be somewhere near my mom and my daddy. I believe his mind went back. Brother, some of those home cooked meals. Brother Sam, I believe he can smell cornbread cooking. I believe he can smell fried chicken fried. And he said, my God, what am I doing down here in this hog field? I'm going to get up and get out of here. He once was a good, hard-working, clean, obedient son. Not only did his son remember the good times, but he also remembered his father. That's what you need to know this morning. You say, preacher, you don't know how bad I've been. Does that really matter? Really? Jesus' blood was shed for every drop of his blood was shed for every sin. Does it really matter how bad you've been? Hey, I could tell you some things that would shock you. I could tell you things I've done that would shock you. I could tell you some things that our deacon's done that would shock you. Or Brother Jeff, or maybe Brother Clint, that your mouth would drop open, but that ain't you doing that. What I'm trying to say is you ain't no different than the rest of us. You ain't no further down in sin than I was. I remember when God saved me, brother, it felt like I was up to my neck, and I was up on my tiptoes, and I couldn't go down no further. And if I went under, I was going forever. I knew I was lost. I knew I was going to burn in a lake of fire. But then I remembered my daddy preaching about a Savior that hung on the cross, that shed his blood, and suffered for my sin. And I said, my God, I ain't going down. I know there's hope in the cross. I know there's hope in the shed blood. And I know there's hope down in my Father's house. I'm going to go back. Thank God, that's what it takes. Glory to God, you've got to remember where you came from. Esau, remembering. I remember, brother. I remember laying drunk. And I remember all that stupid mess that I used to do. But I also remember Mama standing up there singing, how beautiful heaven must be. Oh, yes, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Oh, and I remember hearing them sing that in the page number 63. Oh, what a day that'll be. I said, I'm tired of eating hog slop. I'm tired of living in the world. I remember what it's like, and I know there's a better life somewhere. I tell you something else he saw. Number three, he saw reality. He saw reality. He saw what that boy really was. Now here's the key. If you want to get right with God, you've got to realize it's you, big boy. You know what the problem is with this church? The problem's you. And the problem's me. I can't spend my life looking at Jesus and that's what's wrong with me. I got to look in the mirror. That's the problem, right? We all got to look at ourselves, and that's what it is. You must admit what you are. You never seem to think it's you until it all comes crashing down around you. I bet when his money started getting low, he started blaming his friends, saying, Daddy should have given me more, and they should have done this, and he charged me too much for that car, and that old gal should have stayed with me longer. But when he hit rock slap bottom, brother, he said, it's me. I should have done this. I've committed a terrible wrong. I've done wrong. I've sinned. I've wasted my life. And brother, the reality of sin finally hit him. Did you know you cannot help a man until he hits bottom? I've tried to help people before. Like Brother Sam was talking about, had them in tears. And all they had to do is just pray. The Holy Spirit dealing with them. Just pray. Ask God to save you. Repent of your sin. And then walk away with their head down. Brother, I want to tell you something. Until that person hits bottom, until they get come to, the Bible said he came to himself. He didn't come to you. He didn't come to me. He came to himself. And he started taking a real good, long, hard look. Actually, sitting down there at the hog pen, Brother Jeff. He was sitting there, the hogs rooting around, sneaking and all. And he just sat there without his shoes on his feet. And he said, look what I've become. Look what I've done to myself. Look what I've done. Look how I've ruined my life. Brother, when you see yourself in the reality, brother, you'll start realizing what the problem is and where the problem is and where the help is. You cannot wallow in the filth of the world and be clean. Sin will promise you pleasure, but it brings heartache. It promises rewards, but it gives debt. Sin promises help, but it gives hurt. Sin promises fun, and it does give you fun, but it brings misery. Sin promises fullness, but it causes emptiness. You will never see the sign of sin that will destroy your life until it's too late. You watch the beer commercials on a ball game, and it'll make you think if you pop a can open, then you'll have all the women and all the money, and it'll just be one endless party. But it don't show you. It don't show you the people trying to wreck out on the highway and dead bodies laying around. It don't show you the highway patrol knocking on somebody's door and had to tell them their child's been killed in a horrific car wreck because some drunk ran over them. It don't show you little boys, little girls that cry themselves to sleep because mom and daddy don't love each other no more because daddy run off with some whore or because the mother run off with some old man at work. No, that's exactly where that stuff will take you to. You can't indulge in sin without meeting it head on sooner or later. You can't sow the seeds of wickedness without reaping the pains of sorrow. You can't enjoy pleasure in sin without paying for it later. You cannot and will not be the exception to the rule. Everybody thinks that, but everybody's wrong. Nobody's going to escape. Adam and Eve didn't escape it, and neither will you. Neither will I. I can't sin and get away with it, neither can you. You might think you will, and you might say, "Preacher, I'm young, I'm healthy, I can do what I want to do." That's true, but you might be dead tomorrow. We was watching a soccer match the other day, and they found out one of them players just out there running around playing. And he had had heart surgery, I believe it was, 23 years old. He'd had a heart attack, had heart surgery. Don't think just because you're young, you're Superman. You ain't. Even if you are Superman, there's kryptonite around, somebody's going to get you. Amen, brother. All that travel, this road this young man did, this road of sin will pay with brokenness, emptiness, sorrow, regret, failing health, mental depression, an unfulfilled life in an early grave. It'll kill you. It'll kill you physically and take your soul to hell. Number four, he looked at his son and he saw regret. I like what the son said in verse 18. He said, "I'll rise and go to my father," and will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven." See, he really got it. He didn't say, "Daddy, I shouldn't touch your money." He didn't say that. He said, "I've sinned against God and before thee." Right? Did you get that? He saw regret. He had gone from fullness to emptiness. He had gone from somebody to just another bum on the street. Listen, that's the regret. Brother, when you get right with God, it's when you start looking at your life and you start regretting what you've done with your life, how you messed it up, where you've got it. And no amount of blame in this world is going to straighten that out except you. You say, "Preacher, you don't understand. I've had a broken marriage. I come from broken home." Listen, everybody's got something. Everybody. Everybody here has got something. Or you've had somebody run, your wife run off and leave, your husband run off and left you. Or you've had a business go under, lost every dime you had, your house got burnt down or whatever. Or maybe you had cancer, or maybe you had a heart trouble. But I'm just saying, no matter how far you've gone down that road, brother, there's always the same trip to get back. He saw regret. He had gone from a rich man's son to a man, boy, eating with the hogs. The turning point shows regret, saying you're guilty. The night I got saved, I said, "It's me. I'm guilty." Just like that song Candace sings in the choir. You know, "So what have you done? What good deeds have you done?" When the man went to paradise, "What good deed did you do?" "I have nothing to claim. Nothing. I have nothing to claim. All my goodness and all the good things maybe that I possibly think I'm going to do are not good. But it's all on Him. It's what Jesus did for me at Calvary." I'll say this number five. He saw in verse 20, he saw a return. Not only did he think about it, but he got up and did something about it. You know what my mom used to say? She said, "Son, if you fall down, there's two things you can do. You can lay there whine, or you can get up." Listen, knowing you're in that condition is not enough. You got to act on it. You got to do something about it. Hello, boy, laid down in that hog pen for a little bit. I don't know how long. Maybe been up a day, 2 days. He might lay there 2 weeks for all I know. And he laid there, and the more he laid there, the more he thought, "Man, listen, there's, I know that if I can get back to my daddy's house, there's help for me, and there's hope. There's bound to be something. If daddy won't take me back, maybe he'll hire me as a servant, and a good man as he is. If he won't take me back, he can tell me where I can get a job and where I can do something with my life, because I've come to the end of myself." You feel that way this morning? You're at the end of your rope? And ain't enough rope left to tie a knot in it? I remember, y'all have to forgive me for talking about it. I know y'all heard it. But Sam, I remember when I got saved. I really felt like a young man, 20 years old, hanging on to a greasy rope at the very end. And I remember thinking about just turning loose. I remember thinking, if this is all there is to life. I mean, I was enjoying partying for a while. Then after a while, it got to where it wasn't fun anymore, Brother Jeff. Wasn't fun no more. It took more liquor to get drunk. It took more pot to get a buzz and all that stuff. And the same goes for that illicit sex. It never satisfied you. Nothing can satisfy you because you're born with this empty spot in your heart. And it's like a puzzle. The only thing that'll fit is Jesus Christ. He's the only thing that can fill that void. Nothing else will do it. And I remember thinking, this is it. Ain't nothing. If this is all there is, I might as well check out. I might as well go on. But then I remember my daddy preaching. I remember him preaching his lungs out like I'm doing right now. And I know some people act like they didn't like it, didn't want to hear it. But I'll tell you what, that stuck in my mind. And that all come back to my memory. And my daddy told me if I died without God, I was going to go to hell. He told me that when I was a little tiny boy. I mean, he'd tell us Bible stories at night. And he'd say, if you don't give your heart to Jesus, when you die, you'll go to hell and you'll burn forever. God don't want that to happen to you. God wants to save you. He loves you. He gave his son to die on the cross. I remembered that, brother, as I was hanging on to that rope. Brother, I did turn loose that night, but I turned loose and fell in the arms of the Savior. And I surrendered my life and repented and gave God my life and asked God to come into my heart and my life. He saw a return. He did something about his condition. He knew where help was, and he came back on his own. That's why I don't like to see people coerce people into coming to the altar. Let them come on their own, brother. It'll be real then. If you bring them to the altar, you don't know if they came to the altar because you scared them or if they really meant it. Amen. He saw return. Number 6, he saw repentance. Verse 18 to 19, I've already mentioned it, but he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. His father saw, here's what he saw in repentance. Now, I want you to get this. I'm going to close in just a minute. He saw forgiveness, regeneration, adoption, the new birth, justification, sanctification, fellowship with Christ. All that hinges on one thing, repentance. You can't have the peace and joy and contentment and happiness and all that other stuff without repentance. What is that repentance? That's saying, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Lord, I'm sorry for what I am. And come to the cross of Christ. Brother, like that old song says, you know, at Calvary, you know what I'm saying? That's where it's at the foot of the cross. That's where you come to and you repent and you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, God, with everything that's in me, I give it all to you and repent. Repentance don't mean that you go make up for everything you ever did wrong. It means you stop and turn around and you go the other direction. And that act of repentance with faith in Him is what saves you. No repentance, no peace. No repentance, no joy. No repentance, no purpose. No repentance, no fulfillment. No repentance, no happiness. This was his only hope. This was his only hope to get out of the situation that he's in. AA couldn't help him. Therapy couldn't help him. Drug rehab couldn't help him. Turning over a new leaf wouldn't work. Relocating to another place wouldn't work. His friends couldn't help him and wouldn't help him. Amen? His parents couldn't even help him. His daddy couldn't come down there and get him. He had to come back to his daddy. Are y'all following me now? Everybody with me so far? Everybody still awake? Listen. If you want to get back to God, you're going to have to get up and go back where you jumped off at. You got to get back in where you got out at. Amen. He came back to the Lord. And brother, the Bible said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. David said in Psalm number 51. He came back with his head down in humility, and he came back with a different attitude. He came back admitting who was wrong and who he had wronged. If he had come back and blamed everyone else and demanded more money, his father couldn't have done anything for him. But he came back a whole different. When he came back, he left with his chest stuck out and his head high, but he came back with his head hanging down, ruined. That's why I don't like these prayers where a preacher says, bow your head and whisper a prayer. And repeat after me. That's not really repentance. It's when you're sorry for what you've done, and you're sorry for what you are, and you get up and come to the old-fashioned altar, and you and God get together, and y'all work it out. See, I can't work it out for you. You say, preacher, I want you to help me. I'm trying to. I've been preaching for 30 minutes as hard as I can. My body let me go. I'm trying to help you get out of the hog pen, but you got to get up and do it. That's like what they call intervention, where everybody gets together and they, and I understand that. I do when people see their loved one throwing their life away. I'd probably try it too, Brother Sam. I'd try anything. But that stuff don't usually work until that person hits rock bottom. You got to get sick of it, brother. You got to have your belly full of that mess. That's why people say, sir, would you accept the Lord? Would you Would you pray with me, accept the Lord, and they'll say, I'm not ready. You know what they mean? They're saying, I ain't had quite enough of it yet. You keep going, you will. You'll get so sick of it one day, or it'll kill you before you get a chance to get saved. Y'all heard me tell a story about my uncle dying, laying on his deathbed. He died within 24 hours. I said, will you give your heart to the Lord now? And he said, I'm not ready just yet. I said, what are you waiting on? I said, you know you're not getting out, don't you? He said, yeah. I talked pretty plain, but I knew he was dying. He knew he was dying. I said, you know you're dying, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, what are you waiting on? I'm just not ready. I left there in disbelief. I couldn't believe it. He did get saved the next morning and died just a few hours later. Now, brother, I'm going to tell you what, that's cutting it too close. You say, well, I believe in deathbed repentance. I do too, but I sure wouldn't want to be the one laying on my deathbed doing it.
Amen.
I sure wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to have the gate slammed shut behind me, would you? I don't want to get in like that, brother. Hey, brother, I'm telling you, you have to do the repenting and you have to do the coming back. Biblical repentance involves sorrow, separation, and submission. And last thing he saw, in verse 24, he saw reconciliation. That father saw, that's my son coming back. We're going to be together again. The reason I say that this morning, don't sit there and beat yourself up even more, because God wants you to come back more than you want to come back. Here's what I believe. The Bible don't say this, but I believe this, that when that boy left home, I believe every day that daddy looked down that road, Brother Jeff. Every day he looked down that road, I wonder where he's at, from what he's doing today. Reckon he'll come back. Maybe, the Bible don't mention his wife, but she may have said, did you get a letter from our boy today? Or, no, I hadn't heard from him. Hadn't heard from him months. That may have went on a year, 2 years, I don't know. I do know this, you can start partying and blow some money quick. It don't take long, brother. You can take a wad and blow it fast. But he looked down the road, he saw him coming back, and he recognized him. The Bible said, draw nigh to God, and what? He'll draw nigh to you. When the father saw him coming, he could tell he's coming back with repentance because his head was down, he was ragged and ruined, and his father ran to meet him and fell on his neck. He said, Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I just want to be a servant. Here's what he said. He said, go get him a robe. Go get him some shoes. Go kill the fatted calf. Put a ring on it. Because he said, my son has returned home. Do you realize this morning that Jesus Christ paid for you? You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. I'm not a good clean person like y'all are. Oh, don't kid yourself. We ain't all that great. Amen? We're just dirty, filthy sinners saved by the grace of God, just like you. All the difference between us, we're a saved sinner and you're a lost sinner. Or maybe you're here this morning, you're saved, and you're just out of the will of God, and you went way down yonder, so far from God, it seems like you'll never get back. But you can be reconciled with him. If you don't know what reconciliation is, when you get married and you have a big knockdown drag out, that word becomes a sweet word, buddy. When you and your wife start getting along again and y'all speaking terms, and it's lovey-dovey again, and it's not fighting and fussing, sleeping on the couch and eating at McDonald's. I like reconciliation. And that father saw it in his son when he came back. Let's stand this morning.